said it's right in the sight of God. It's right before the law.
Charlie Sandage sings Hoxie, Arkansas, 1955, at a 63rd anniversary celebration of the day the town voluntarily integrated its schools. Many former students still live in town.
How old were you at the time that Hoxie was integrated?
12.
That's Ethel Tompkins. She's 74 now. In 1955, she and classmates started attending the formerly all-white school.
A lot of the kids in my class were kids that I knew because they were in my neighborhood. It wasn't really a big deal for me to go with them because we would start, before the integration, we'd start out together. And then I'd go one way to school and they'd go the other way. Well, after the integration, it was like, yay, we can go to school, walk all the way together. The day of the integration, we walked to school. We saw several, the farmers, the men, male, kind of milling around a little bit, but didn't have any idea why they were there, and figured it had nothing to do with us, so we went on into school and just had a grand old time.
It was July 11th, 1955. It was 2 years before the Little Rock Nine case. And almost 8 years before newly elected Alabama Governor George Wallace uttered these words.
I draw the line in the dust and toss the gauntlet before the feet of tyranny, and I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
In Hoxie, former students remember the first few weeks of their integration as peaceful or even unremarkable. The six white men who made up the Hoxie School Board had declared it right in the sight of God, and it seemed that it was a settled matter. But then Life magazine published a photo essay later that month on this small town's integration, including a photo of two black girls and two white girls linking arms as they walked to the playground. Segregationists from other cities and states were then alerted to the situation.
It would fall on an unlikely group of men in a tiny, equally unlikely place.
According to this 2003 documentary, Hoxie, The First Stand, outside groups then began a harassment campaign aimed mostly at the school board. Like many of the students, Melena Smith remembers that kids remained somewhat unaware of what was going on with adults.
Kids really didn't. Those outsiders that came in and started stuff, and got it all going. But as far as the kids, we was tickled to death to have friends to play with. We made friends then, and we still have those friends now.
The school board stood by the decision. Charlie Penix is the son and grandson of three attorneys who represented the school board when others would not.
What I always heard growing up was that they didn't get pushback. They just didn't get acknowledgement. So their friends didn't shun them, really. They just wouldn't talk about it. It was kind of like the crazy aunt in the attic or something. So you just... They wouldn't discuss it. So my parents had friends in Fayetteville and in Memphis, and we would go sometimes out of town for the weekend just so they could talk to other people about it. So they felt isolated, just that no one would. It was an important topic of the day, and no one would talk about it.
Advocates believe it's time to talk about it. The effort to create a museum and more awareness about Hoxie's story was previously known as the Hoxie 21, after 21 students who integrated the school. But after some interviews revealed that there might have been more than 21, it's now known as Hoxie's First Stand, and advocates say it's time for it to take its rightful place in civil rights history. In Hoxie, I'm Ann Kenda with Arkansas Public Media.
From that time, there's been one school. Hoxie, Arkansas.